One thing that I like to do is sit out on the porch at the rectory. On the east side of the rectory, and we have two huge trees there that have been there forever. And there's just, you know, there's just like, you get a sense of peace just kind of looking at them, right? And just kind of, there's something about it that stills the soul. And those trees, those roots go so deep, right? And those trees are so tall, so the roots go as deep as the tree is tall. That's a powerful, reality to be exposed to. And that's kind of like, you know, when we think about the Catholic Church, how the tree is growing, you know, as time goes on and taller and taller, but what's gone before us are the roots. And so to have the church there as such a strong anchor, a strong source, a faithful source. Today, we're going to use the second preface for the Ascension. So the preface is during the Liturgy of the Eucharist. So you know how it said, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Okay, so the prayer right after that, right after that is the preface. And so preface literally means to be said before, done before, right? So it's said or done before the institution of the Eucharist. So and that preface goes back to the time of the Council of Trent. So it was an intact form at the time of the Council of Trent. So 1570, right? And the Council of Trent was probably one of the most radical and revolutionary ecumenical councils for the last 2,000 years. So there was incredible reform going on then, and one of the reforms was with the liturgy. And so this is one of the prefaces that we'll be using goes clear back to the Council of Trent, and obviously. The main part of it was in existence before the Council of Trent. But what you hear in that preface is the close connection between the resurrection and the ascension. The close connection between the resurrection and the ascension. We think about the resurrection, and we're very familiar with that because we celebrate Easter. But what about the ascension? What role does that play? And the close relationship between the resurrection and the ascension. So what we're going to hear in that preface is that the Lord resurrected and after that ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father so that we might become sharers in divine life. He ascended to heaven. Why? So that we might become sharers in divine life. So it's the ascension that makes us sharers in God's life. So, okay, sounded good. What does that mean now for us? That we're sharers in divine life. Usually when we think about divine life, we think about eternal life, that's life forever. But we have to remember that eternal life, or heaven, as St. John Paul II said, is more of a state than a place. Okay? It does have a place element to it, but the state is more important. In the state, by mean a state of love. And think about this with a family. What's a family, you know, consist of? Well, they have a home, right? And so there's a place where they live out their existence. You live out your existence as a family. But is that the most important part of family's life, you know, where they have their home? No, it's the love that's experienced and shared in the family, right? So that's why we say heaven, yes, there we have a place as far as heaven goes, but it's more about the love that is exchanged and shared for all eternity in heaven. And what kind of love is it? We hear that it's divine love, so that we might become sharers in divinity. And to become sharers in divinity means to become sharers in God's love. God's love. Now we're getting on to something. We are recipients. We can participate in the love that God has for us. And what kind of love is it that God has for us? Well, we have to go back to the cross, to the crucifix, and we look at that, and the love that he expresses for us is completely unmerited. Think about that. Do we merit an ounce of God's love and forgiveness? Not an ounce. So he merits for us merciful love. He merits for us merciful love. It's purely God's gift. And so that's what we can actually receive that. We can know ourselves to be loved in a divine way, completely unconditionally, no matter how far away we turn. So how does that play out in our relationships with one another? Well, think about the injustices that you experience in life and the people that have hurt you, right? And there's a lot of times that you haven't done that much and something unjust was done to you, and they don't have a right to any kind of forgiveness or any kind of love from you. They're doing nothing to deserve it. So why make the movement of letting go of one's resentment and one's hurt and one's anger if they don't deserve it? And they're not even asking for it. Well, who are we? We are partakers, we are sharers in the divine life, in divine love. So when we come and drink from the blood of Christ, when we come to drink from God's love, divine love, unmerited love, merciful love, because we didn't do anything to merit, He merited it, we're receiving the mercy. Once we drink from that font, we're actually able then to extend that same love to those around us who do not deserve it. We can extend merciful love to those around us. That is what transforms a family. That's what transforms a society. Not the next president, not a different type of government, not another place, but this divine merciful love that we first drink from Christ. And it is at the ascension so that we might become partakers in divine life, the merciful love of God.